Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Scanline Tabletop. I'm Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar, SIXDETTMAR.
And I'm Kyrie Page. You can find me on Twitter at Kyrie A. Page on Twitter, but also my, in case Twitter goes sideways, I put a bunch of links in my link tree, linktr.ee/KyrieePage.
And I'm Dylan, at LowPolyRobot on Twitter, and yeah, I'm, wait, why did I do the plug early? I don't know. Brain.
No,
because we're all doing the plug early, because with tabletop games it makes more sense this way, because this way you can end on a nice dramatic note rather than ending on everyone suddenly plugs. Doing their plugs.
Yeah, makes sense. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. No. All right. It's Dylan. You may know me from Mechanista and such. I am Low Poly Robot on Twitter, Low Poly Robot on co-host, and yeah. Continuing to play morally dubious characters here on our tabletop game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are continuing our game from last time of Microscope. It is our world-building game and a sort of setup game for a campaign that now has a title. It's a Beam Saber campaign that is going to be titled The Wayward Line. And we left off, I believe, after our third... Crossroad.
Yes.
Which ended with us sending a nuclear kaiju to fuck up one of our own allies.
Yeah, in a false flag operation.
Well, allies is complicated, I guess. Allies is complicated.
Tenuously at peace with.
Sure. I mean, you know, the civilians themselves probably we were.
I mean, yes, but...
Because we did, you know, choose a military target, but, you know, sometimes... Things go a little bigger than you expect.
Things happen.
Yeah, sometimes a false flag operation goes horribly awry.
Turns into a false frag operation.
Ha ha! Anyway.
So, let's see. I believe we've done three touchstones, or no, three cross... No, oh, that was only two. That was only two,
That
actually.
Was only two.
Yep, that was only two.
Okay. All right, well, it's time for another crossroad. I guess, actually, quickly, let's reintroduce the characters we're playing as. That's probably helpful. Yep. It's changed a little bit for me. I still am using as my major character, Angelica Ainsford, the Night Minister of the Escarati. She, her, Escarin, obviously, and in species, and her role is power. My minor character is new, however. It is Mia Mistral of Venom. She is a robot that is basically the right hand of the princess from the mercenary kingdom we're working with, the Divine Kingdom of Scars. And she's been sent over to sort of be the liaison.
And the characters I have, I play Professor Saya Frill, who is a Babel Reconstruction scholar, a group of people dedicated to the reconstruction of languages, where Saya is half Rethistand, and she serves as a perspective character as she tries to look at things from a historical standpoint. I also have played as Chael Library, a Kryn archive bot, which is a kind of walking, talking, living computer that, you know, keeps, has access to thousands and thousands and thousands of years of family history stored inside of him.
And for me, I am playing, for this one now, my new major is Dr. Trepidy Lazrali, a scientist who defected and was like, hey, I get less oversight here, right? Because I defected and I can give you military secrets and whatnot. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. And they maybe developed a really big weapon now that was used for the aforementioned false flag operation. Though they may have their own aims, you know, going on. They're a cartoon of a villain. They are a bastard, but that's fine. I like playing bastards. And then on the other side of things, my new minor, because they have been somewhat demoted in power, would be Mare Side Dorsum Sardai, who is a survivor from a scout ship encounter with some unknown entity that kind of bumbled into higher positions just by everyone assuming they know more than they did and had more power than they did, or than he did. And he's still going to spend his time at a desk signing papers and whatnot, but he has somewhat relinquished some control for his own sanity and also the sanity of people who know better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here I believe you lost your role basically by establishing a group chat. Well, not a group chat; it's just a DM, but with Archer Bullet, who you now just ask every big question.
It's like, hey, Archer, you have to cover this,
buddy. I need some advice, which is slightly better than getting like a magic eight ball and just shaking it, you know, every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He recognizes his own ineptitudes and does not want to be in this position, but cannot just step down. That's just not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And we have a cast of generic characters that anyone can play. We're not going to read them out now. We will read them as they come up.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. All right. First crossroads third crossroads of the game, but first one of this session.
Real quick, we mentioned something about, like, we kind of ended last episode on, you know, this massive, like, nuclear creature descending upon Yasha.
Yeah.
And we felt that it wasn't quite what we were, like, what was the thinking on that?
I mean, I believe the way the resolution played out is we did get generally the outcome we wanted, which is, you know, making the Union and Irem more at each other's throats, our two enemies. And so that has given us more breathing room. It did go much worse than we expected. I believe there was a sort of an interaction between, nuclear beams and the big storm we made that caused a lot of problems.
Yeah. Like it launched a nuclear beam into the Aurora storm and it caused a lot of issues for everybody.
Yeah.
Rather than just the military target. This is not a case of just dropping the creature on a base and then it being done and hopefully it just being killed by some people. It was instead, the base is messed up, but now everything else around it is also getting messed up. And even after the creature is brought down,
you created like a kaiju version of a fucking storm, right? You created like a super, super, super hurricane that is just fucking up the planet for a while.
Yeah.
Not great.
But it's fine because they are blaming our enemies for this. So clearly everything went fine, actually.
Obviously, it's all about the end result.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. Normal thinking.
So, okay, we've got ourselves, we've hired some mercenaries, and we've done the false flag attack. I think perhaps something a little more internal is called for. I think this is going to be tricky to do within the rules, but I think we need to run an election. Or not necessarily an election, but we just need to form a proper ruling council, as opposed to just carrying previous power forward we need an established, like, group that is in charge.
It's basically uniting the Alliance.
Sure.
Rather than, yeah, everything being their own. Yeah.
So, like, it's not a question of will the Alliance, you know, declare their independence, is what kind of government do they form?
Yeah, we do have to make it A or B questions, however, preferably yes sure. or no.
I mean, I was just kind of posing, like, what we're gesturing towards.
How about something like, you know, should the kingdom establish a new, like, power structure? Because if the answer is no, then it's just like, okay, you know, our three powers that we have right now are just continue to be the people that make all the decisions and stuff. But this is an opportunity for rules to change dramatically if people want. This is a in-canon reason for it to happen.
Okay.
This is a chance for maybe a fucking, like, linguist and poet who has not had a lot to do if she wants to run for office.
Honestly, I think that would be that would actually work all right, because I think what it is that, like, I think posing the question as will they establish a new form of governments, like, so is it just one of those things where they are going to remake the old government with new people, or are they just making something completely new?
I mean, I think for the moment, it's got to be, like, it still hasn't been that long. I think it is forming, like, some sort of, like imitation, right? Some sort of small-scale council. But, like, we are hoping this won't last very long, right? If it turns out we need to just become our own power for the next, you know, couple hundred years, okay. But ideally, we make a temporary council and just get through it, right?
Okay, yeah. I think what happens is that they're going to make a Reformation Council, and it's deciding who is going to be on that council.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if for, like, the positions are obviously limited, so they hold, like, a series of, like, maybe minor elections in different, like, areas. And I think Saya would run as, but, like, her, like, whole campaign is one based off of, like, I, you know, she's, like, I've seen how this plays out before, you know, like, as a historian, right?
Mm.
And is, like, trying to,
I don't know if this would be as formal as, like, I mean, I don't know that we have the systems in place where we would just be like, okay, you know, like, you know, the 7th is election day. Come in and, you know, send your ballots. I think it is more of a loose thing than that, where it's like existing powers will probably get in kind of de facto to some degree, though some won't. But, like, also popular opinion does matter. But it's sort of more of a loose thing than that.
Okay, fair. I feel like it'd be one of those things where, like, maybe Side is just saying, like, no, look, has talked to Saya before. It's like, no, you have a big brain. Please deal with this.
Yeah, like, basically being like, you should be making decisions.
This is starting to sound like stuff that should be seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
If this is going to happen. So I will. Okay, Crossroad 3, should the kingdom establish a new power structure? I write this way because the Reformation Council is going to happen. It could turn out to not be a new power structure, right? It could turn out to be a new, like, a new framing of the existing one.
As they say, meet the old boss, or meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, exactly.
As they say, meet the old boss, it's your new boss.
We fired the new boss, but we brought back the old boss. Yeah.
Alright, so where do we want this scene to happen?
I feel like this is, like, it would be most appropriate that this happens at the university of some kind, like Saya gets maybe not blindsided, but, like, a sudden visit from Side to just, like, as, you know, as he, like, kind of, like, proposes the idea of, like, no, you should, like, do this kind of thing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, who else is going to be there?
Hmm.
The briefcase Theta is there, like, ah, yes, the old alma mater.
I feel nostalgia here. I mean, we had Archer there. Like, Archer had spoken with Saya before. I mean, if
you... Yeah. I mean, Archer does have a military job, and so, like, it's, like, it's possible to put them into scenes, but it's, like, I feel like they need a pretty good reason to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, it could...
I don't know why they'd be just at a university.
It could be a conference call of some kind, but... Or, I don't know. Or it could be someone completely new.
Well, because this would be for six to play, right?
Yes, so,
right.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think.
I mean, we established Vesper as, like, a side's bodyguard already.
We did do that.
Okay, can be there as I can be there as Vesper. That's fine.
Yeah.
Vesper is a they-them double agent whose cover was blown. And it's got the role of Touchstone, so I can do some power shit too.
Yep. So, yeah, I think that yeah, Side will be visiting. Maybe it's just like a formal like I'm the mayor and I have to visit a university. and I know someone here, so I'm going to talk to them to make this as pleasant as I can because I hate leaving my office.
Notoriously hates leaving the office.
Notoriously also hates the office.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, what again, their existence is, he is just not having a good time no matter what is happening. So, you know, so he's just going to be, like, I'm trying to think of how to frame the conversation initially. Like, how it's going to come up.
I think what it is you are... Again, doing those like photo ops that you hate, and then, like you know, you're walking around campus, that sort of thing, and then you I think it's just one of those things where they somehoo shoo the photographers away, and they just have a private conversation in Saya's office.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like that would make sense. Yeah. Basically, like. They shake hands for a photo op and then they just retreat into like the office where they can talk more openly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I think that let's see how am I gonna bring this up? Saya, you're a historian by all accounts, correct?
I have my focuses, sure, but yes, I, you know, she gestures towards some of the books, she has, like, kind of behind her. She has, like, one or two copies of the book she's written behind her.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I've done some research, sure.
I have been wondering about a thing. So, we're obviously... in our own alliance now, but beyond some minor elected officials, most of everyone that is making the decisions is people who were making the decisions before, right?
Right.
And the thing about that is that the decisions that were made before are what resulted in the split anyway, and what I'm trying to say is, do you think there would be a call for new leadership in a seemingly new society? Because it's something that I have just been thinking about with regards to both my own position here and also the position of others in power. Mainly because it just... how to put it? I don't like the war. I don't like the idea of this war and everything, and I just wonder if maybe all the people that are in power enjoy it too much, and I don't know. I figured I would ask you, as someone who knows about these kinds of matters, how do you feel about the way that our glorious leaders are being handled?
Well, I mean, from a historical perspective, I mean, power, the way it consolidates, you know, it has, shown time and time again as self-replicating the problems of the past.
So, the reason I also think about this is I have to talk to people.
You do. I feel like I'm one of the few people you can talk to without necessarily falling over yourself.
Well, the thing about it is people just kind of listen, right? They believe in the structures. They believe in me, for instance. I say something and a bunch of people say, yeah, and what we've learned is that's not always a good plan. Does that apply to everyone else? You know, Minister Ainsford or any of these other people? Do people just go with what they say because they were already in these positions of decision-making? And is that a good thing? I guess. I don't know.
An alarm goes off on Vesper's watch, and they pour out a couple of pills and say, sir, it's time for your anxiety medicine.
Right.
Saya slides a glass of water towards side.
The mayor prefers bourbon. Pours a small, like a little travel glass of bourbon to take the pills with.
Do that in front of company, but okay, thank you. They just kind of mouth to the side.
Yeah,
and Vesper's like, I thought Saya was okay.
it just seems unprofessional while I'm trying to propose. Then what they just take the pills and down it.
Side, okay. Are you, let's just cut to whatever point you're trying to make. Are you hoping that somehow some new form of government pops up so you don't have to do your job anymore?
That is a very disingenuous way of putting it, though that is a benefit. No.
So I'm not incorrect. Okay.
I'm just saying, do you think that smarter people should be in power and making these decisions rather than a bunch of us who just kind of fell into these positions by happenstance and circumstance?
Generally, yes.
Someone like you.
What? Is she, she, like, chokes on, like, for, like, I could just... What?
I mean, you're a historian, you know these things. You've been around since before, you know, the split, the schism happened to us. So, you know things. Why not? People know who you are. I showed up here for a photo opportunity to shake hands with you. People clearly know who you are, besides me.
I don't know.
People are uncomfortable with the percentage of our leadership these days that is military. And that is, I am invoking Touchstone there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, Side is going to just kind of nod. That's kind of the main point I'm getting at also, is everyone in power has interests in things that not necessarily everyone cares about. I don't really care about a big war and winning. I would rather just everyone, I don't know, get along. And yes, that's a bit naive, sure, but also it keeps me alive and keeps other people I know alive and keeps everyone alive. probably a better state of affairs. Whereas if everyone in the everyone in power is, excuse my language, a jarhead, then I don't know. I don't know if that has the same goal for everyone. If that's going to be, we're doing this to make everyone be able to live comfortably. And yes, there are selfish reasons for me to be like this, but even minus those selfish reasons, you can see why this is still something that matters to others as well, outside of myself.
Can't say I haven't. The thought hasn't crossed my mind.
So it does make sense. I thought something correctly. For once. I'm just saying to think on it.
My best work is, replicating and translating the speeches of others, but I'm not.
Does that include political speeches?
Yeah, I've translated some of yours.
So that sounds like that would be a great start to getting people on your side. You know how speeches work.
I think, you see this sort of, she has this, twitch, right? Where she is, she's, weighing the, options in her head. And I think it's one of those things where she will not make, she doesn't make the decision lightly, but I think it's one of those things that, she will, in a day or two, you're going to get a message from her that simply just says, I'll do it. But in this specific moment, she's mulling it over.
Yeah.
But Saya just, she leans back in her chair a little bit and goes, well, I have been known to, when I signed onto this university, they said some things were being ran a little better. I'm going to have to think on it. But
that's fine. Just know that if you do anything, you will have my endorsement, which will win over some of the people that still listen to me for whatever reason that they do. Takes another shot of bourbon. Just like walks up to Vesper and just takes the little bottle out of the coat and then just just
down like side is trying to keep up the air of professionalism. Something.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Look, we are in company that knows everything about Side, so no.
Yeah.
Absolutely no reason to keep this up. They had to do a He had to do a photo op today, and he is suggesting that we possibly not necessarily overthrow is a strong word, but think about, hey, should we get better people in leadership positions? And they're a great example of that, or he's like a great example of one of the people who is in a leadership position that shouldn't be.
Right.
So, and he knows this.
Yeah.
And has known this.
And I think there's just a thought in the back of Saya's mind that's I could run this place a little better, huh? And yeah. I think, you spent, maybe the scene is, they just spend a couple more minutes in our office, chatting about something else, and then, it just, I don't think there's necessarily anything else, but, it just, ends with, Saya at her laptop, looking at a, word processor, drafting her letter of resignation to go into politics.
Yay. Well then, alright.
So does that change her to a power, or?
Probably depends on how this goes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it depends on how this goes.
Sure.
Mechanically, I think you can do it at basically any time, but, like, it has to be established in the narrative, and I don't think running immediately makes you the power.
Sure. It'll be, like, if the vote goes to, or if however it lands, it'll be that sort of thing. Okay. Maybe she, like, I don't know if she necessarily, I'm trying to remember how perspective works, but, like, I'm wondering if she...
You can make a prediction.
Yeah. I think she predicts, like, it's a prediction based on the result.
It's like a, the way it works is you make sort of an if statement, like, if this happens, then this will happen. So an example from, there were two examples from Crossroads 2. One of them was, if yes, the front lines shift forward and give the Alliance more room to breathe. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But also they can be more general or not, I guess, non-specific. Because the other one was if Dr. Laz Raleigh is involved in any conclusion, it will be a nightmare.
Right.
So that doesn't say yes or no. That just says, hey, if this guy's, you know, part of it.
I think it's, I think maybe the prediction is if the Alliance doesn't, like, if the Reformation Council doesn't get approved or doesn't go through, maybe the Alliance government is going to become even more insular.
Okay.
Like,
that kind of makes sense, though, because they're going to start, you know, being like, oh, we have to protect our position because clearly people are thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, look, if this doesn't work, like it's going to definitely... you know, be a lot more focused on, like, dynasties and successions of, like, political dynasties, as it were, rather than, you know, like, families. But you know what I mean. Like, it'll just become more insular.
All right. Next scene time. I really hope Dr. Laz Raleigh doesn't run. Or make something to run.
Well,
he puts up.
I'm like,
he
I'm
puts
like,
up
how
the
will
robot.
Laz Raleigh feel about this? I'm wondering if Laz Raleigh is going to just be on the side of no. We need to keep our current leadership. They let me make things. They let me work on my work. What if the new leadership says I can't work on my work?
I mean, like, there's, you know, there's that horrible moment, right, where someone new ends up in power and they have to get the briefing on what it is you do,
and, you know, just spits
biological
out
biological sciences. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. Leave.
Giant, like, smash cut to giant kaiju, like, stomping city.
God. All right, hey, Kyrie, I had an idea for my scene coming up.
Sure.
Which was Dr. Laz Raleigh is going to get together Minister Ainsford, and then also probably Admiral Duke Brand Tirson.
Okay.
Of Sulphur. To be like, hey, you can't let some civilian government take over, and you're going to be in a bad place too if this happens. And I think that, you know, we'll play that scene out. So, if that's okay with you as well.
So, it's going to be Laz Raleigh talking to the Duke
And Angelica.
And Angelica. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For a listener, the Admiral Duke Brand Tirson of Sulphur is a admiral who used to be part of the Mercenary Kingdom, but was poached because of his talent.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, cool. Yeah, I'll play the Duke again. I guess I just need to, like... I think we'll find it in the scene. I want to give him just a little bit more. Like, he can still be a bastard, but I want to give him just a little sliver of dimension.
That's
yeah,
fair.
make him a little less cartoonish.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm just trying to think of, like, a way to do that.
I was going to say, the other character who could be involved in the scene could be Rev as well, is another character that could be involved.
I think Rev is our, like, I think we can reserve Rev for, like, another scene, but, like, I do want to play the Duke. I just am trying desperately to think of, like, another dimension to him. Like, maybe he gives some sort of, like, grounded perspective on, like he's an old, like, yeah, he's an old ruthless, like, mercenary, but, like, maybe it's, like, yeah, but he's also had a lot of practical experience and knowledge.
Well, he probably understands also, yeah, that, like, you know, going against what the citizens want also would be maybe a bad idea.
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So, yeah, okay. Because, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, let's do it.
So, I think in that same council room that we've had a couple of times already, or, like, the round table, that Dr. Lazzarelli is going to just kind of be, you know, like,
what,
obviously...
What if... I think the council room is on Vinegar Station. Uh-huh. What if instead Ainsford and Bran Tyrson are visiting the Verglas facility?
Okay, yeah, we could do that. We could do that. So the way I imagine it, we're going to be probably in. I imagine if it's where Lazzarelli's working, so we'll be in the Eclipser, which is the outer station on the facility that is, you know, doing all the secret research and whatnot.
I feel like we would never go to the Eclipser itself.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
I feel like, I mean, you could, like, we keep tabs on it, but, like, you don't, like, you wouldn't have the vice president walk into the war crimes lab.
You know what? That's a fair point. Maybe it'll just be, like, a in-between area that is, like, you know, obviously a meeting area, like, somewhere that is still, like, private on the main area. Like, you're not gonna have to worry about a random, you know, one of the people who are, you know, allowed on the facility walking in. But, yeah. Okay, so we'll just say it's a, just, like, a nice little office room, with several tables set up with chairs. Looks very clean. Like it doesn't really get used all that often, mainly.
Like, some office in the back that is used for, like, meetings, but also has, like, a little, like, sign that says, like, do not, like, occupied, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's, like, an occupied room, and it's just closed. Okay.
And it's, outside soundproof, because, like, that's where you do teleconferences in, and so that sound doesn't leak out.
Mm-hmm. It's got, like, the cool-looking, like, when you have the soundproofed walls, how they have, like, you know, the grooves in them and whatnot, so it's got these, so it's, like, a nice little room. It is, like, a nice little room, is how I'm imagining it. But it also doesn't look like it's, like, used all the time, you know, it's not, like, a standard meeting room, so. All right.
Dr. Lazzarelli, I expected one of your aides. Is the news that important to deliver in person?
Yes, it is. Minister Ainsford, and then Dr. Lazzarelli is, like, struggling to remember all of the titles for our good friend Admiral Dufresne Tirson.
Who's just kind of, like, smoking his pipe, looking at an observation window.
Admiral?
Duke Bran Tirson of Sulphur, thank you.
Yes, I knew that. Look, there has been a stirring lately that has come to my attention about people wanting to possibly change leadership, right? It seems like some professor or something has convinced people, oh, maybe we should be uniting in a different way or what have you. What does that mean for my work? Is what I want to know. Because I have guarantees from you that I can work on my work, which we know is effective, as everything went well. So, are you okay with this? Are you okay with the possibility of losing power?
This is in character. Doctor, please, have a seat. I'm not going to lose power because there are some people on Instagram who think elections are cool. There is a possibility that this will come to some sort of head, and that they may get a representative or two in some new council. There has been discussion of forming a new council, and it would be a good look if we had some newer faces on it, I suppose. But, I mean, I'm... the duly elected Knight Minister of Escarati. I am not particularly concerned about losing that. And I don't imagine that any of these people they put forward, I mean... Doctor, let's deal with a theoretical. If I were to, right now, admit you into a ruling council, how would you know that you were really being let in? We would let, you know, we would have you come to meetings, we would ask your opinion on various things, and we would go along with your decisions. How would you know what questions weren't brought to you? How would you know what information you weren't given?
I guess there would be no way of knowing. That's a fair point.
It would be a simple matter if we get someone we don't think we can trust to simply wall them off from serious behind-the-scenes decision-making.
I'm just a little worried, and actually, I'm going to be invoking, I think, if this is okay, Dr. Lazzarelli's perspective power here.
Sure, sure.
I am simply worried that I'm simply worried that if the power structure changes, that it's going to mean more rigid oversight over what I am doing. That is all. And I'm going to put that as the prediction is. Let me see if I can actually, let's see. Perspective. I'm going to put that in the chat. If yes, then there will be more oversight over experiments on the Verglas facility.
I think I have something that I want to have the Duke pipe in with. I think the, like, Duke, he, you know, he lets out an exhale and kind of remarks, like, he doesn't necessarily look at the doctor, but he's still looking outward into the observation, like towards the stars, rather. It goes like, my boy, you do understand that the nature of power is that it shifts, right? Nothing stays the same forever. It's about being able to go with the tide. The question is, can you adjust?
I just don't know if that's a satisfying answer.
Satisfactory or not, that's how things tend to work. I mean, look at me. I used to, you know, I used to be a duke. Now I am here. I adjust. And I've maintained something resembling power. You just don't seem the type to know how to adjust to the changing times.
Dr. Lazzarelli is, like, visibly, like, annoyed at this, but is not wanting to say anything because it's like, these are the people who are affording me my work. I need to just... I can't argue with them. I can't argue with them. You know, it's just...
But he really wants to mouth off to, like, the old wizened, like, Duke.
Yeah. They're just, like, really, like, just, yeah. But, like, has nothing... The thing is, they know that they don't have, like, a way of arguing against that is the problem, right? It's a being told something that you know is something that is true if it happens, so you can't, like, actually argue. And I think that's Lazzarelli's just going to just put their head in their hands and just be like, I suppose you have a point there, and then just kind of is like, well, I just hope that maybe things can stay somewhat as they are. And if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. And I think that would be end scene.
Okay.
All right, cool.
I would love a scene. I mean, first of all, I just want to get to play Mia Mistral because I've been looking forward to playing this character a bit. But I think Councilmember Iria Sparrow, who is basically a member of the ruling council of the whole Andric Union, who ended up siding with the Alliance in the split. I think that they have been like away, right? They haven't been at this part of the this part of space. They've been dealing with other issues, but they are sort of catching up on the situation out here. And I would love a scene where, let me see, who all can I have with this? I want the meeting with Mia Mistral because they're, you know, they need to talk to the representative, the liaison for, you know, the mercenary kingdom we've hired, right? And maybe Rev?
Let's see.
Because I think Iria is the type of person who wants to, like, who likes meeting with people who are sort of at this tier where they have a lot of perspective, because, like, they're, like, to put it in a way, she likes meeting with people that are three-story buildings. They're high enough off the ground that they have a great view of the street, but not so far away that things start to lose, you know, detail. Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If I may, I would like to play Rev, but I am open to playing another character.
Dylan, if you're willing to play Iria.
Wait, but then... Yeah, because Iria is a generic. Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could also play Iria and we could do something else, but...
No. I could play Iria. That's fine. That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay. So, in Rev is the one who, like, he, like, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not tentative.
He's like, not aggressively so, but he's quite skeptical.
Yes. He still eventually, like, signed on, but, like, he, you know, like
took a lot of doing.
Yes.
A military engineer who has been promoted beyond his confidence, if not competence.
Right. Okay.
Setting the scene, I think, and I think it is just like, it is not even like a proper like meeting room, right? It is like, there is a little like, it's almost like there's a hotel bar, right? Because it is a government building where people are working, but like, they're like, we, you know, sometimes people want to go out for drinks, but when they do that, their work efficiency drops. So here's this side.
Right. Here's this like unofficially sanctioned, like, yeah.
And there's like, like partially for privacy purposes, there's like a very simplified AI bartender bot.
So that
you're not worried about being overheard by the bartender, because even you know, like, if you're not there to have a meeting, which it turns out people often decide to have, you know, small meetings here, government workers still just end up talking about confidential shit on their breaks. So
sure. Yeah. And it's like, you scan your badge and the bartender like, welcome, Rev.
probably call you Reverence, right?
Yeah, like, welcome, Reverence. Type tell, what would you like to drink? You know, like, that's sort of...
badly synthesized. Yeah, voice.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, certified foreign power. And Mia says, "Thanks.
It is a pleasure to have you with us." Yeah. Okay, so I guess, like, what you, like, maybe it starts with, like, Rev shows up first and is just, like, at the bar, just, like, you know, just drinking quietly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think this, like, very, like, as a design, Mia is a robot that is, like, designed to sort of, like, embrace, like, it is like someone was nostalgic for the Aibo, right?
Okay.
There's a lot of, like, very, like, metal look, like, silver parts that are, like, shaped, like, you know, in the vague silhouette of, like, human parts, but, like, the joints are ball joints, and there's no attempt to hide that. The face is, like, a black LCD screen with blue, you know, like, I guess it's an LED screen with blue LEDs to make, like, facial expressions and stuff. And Mia sits down, scans in, and I think orders a tequila. And then turns and says, hey, you, Rev? Is that right?
Takes a sip. I'm Reverence Tiptel. Nice to meet you.
I guess we're both in the principal's office on this one, huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't introduce herself, just sort of goes on, like, it's like, either you know or you don't, and I'm not telling you.
Right. From my perspective, like, Rev is meeting with, who's he meeting with again?
With, council member Iria.
Got it.
Yeah. Which I think that Iria is going to now walk in. They're going to be probably, I assume, dressed somewhat professionally. Even though this is, like, this is not, like, the most formal of occasion of meeting, but they are going to be just, like, you know, they're going to have, like, their whole I'm trying to look nice outfit on.
Sure.
Yeah, I assume they're kind of, like, ducking off to the side in between, like, you know, official meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, they're going to also take a seat and say, you know, have their badge get scanned as well. By the bartender, and they're just going to say just water, and they're going to say, Reverend Triptel, nice to finally meet you. And I'm assuming that Iria would also be knowing that they know that they are meeting a envoy for the princess rather than just the princess, right? So they're going to know who this is. Yeah.
Rev picks up his drink and points to, like, a kind of corner, like, table. And because I imagine that he was at the bar. It's like, let's meet over there. Okay. Mostly so he doesn't have to necessarily turn his head 180 degrees. To, you know.
Yeah, outflanked by the two.
Outflanked, yeah. So, he points to, like, a small corner table. You know, like, The seats are made very utilitarianly, but still comfortable enough. They slide in. Alright.
Yeah. Iria's gonna grab their small glass of water and walk over and take a seat as well.
Mia sets down and, like, sort of, like, bends down very slightly and starts, like, individually flicking the grains of salt along the rim into the middle of the cup.
Mia Mistral, nice to also finally meet you.
Hi, you're the councilator.
Council member, yes.
Sure, whatever you call him here.
Fair enough.
Hasn't looked up from the glass, is still flicking them in.
So Rev like looks at the two of them and basically he you know remarks, So, what? Well, I'm here.
Oh, you're new, right? Okay, this sort of thing happens all the time. So you get, you know, people like the council member here, who, you know, are the sort of politicians who go all over the place, and often when they get to a new space, they kind of grab a couple of people and want the lay of the land. It's very flat, by the way.
Yeah, there's not many hills.
Oh, I was making a joke. I don't think you were, Rev. No, I mean, they mean, like, the situation.
Arya's just gonna kind of have a light smile on their face, and is going to then bring up... So, Reverence, or Rev?
Just call me Rev, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. Rev, you have a good sense of, I'm assuming given your position, you'd have a good sense of knowing the ins and outs of what's going on, and it's as Mia says, I'm just trying to get the lay of the land. So, Rev, how do you feel about the way that the Alliance is being run right now? Do you have any concerns that, you know, maybe people are missing something? People are not acting in the best interest of everyone?
Rev, kind of looks, you know, he's kind of like, you know, kind of a little forlorn. Looks into the reflection of his glass. Takes a drink. Because, I mean, maybe the people in charge are starting to... I mean, I don't know. Look, I just get orders from the top and I just kind of do them.
That's understandable, but I do think you know something. I mean...
Also, you're part of the top.
More like the... And he points to, like his glass. Like, and it points to, like, right around, like, the middle, or, like, a little above the middle, and goes, like, the lower layer of the top. It's not quite as glamorous.
No, but do you know what that does afford you? It affords you perspective. It affords you the ability to know what is going on.
It affords you the mechanical role perspective.
Right, I forgot about that. Wait,
no, you're good, you're good. It's still a word that people use. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even think about that. No, it's it affords you the ability to see above and below. And that's why it's important to ask you. Because I do think you know. Not only do you know, but just given the way that you're acting, which isn't bad, it's just you clearly have some qualms with what's going on, right? How things are run, or maybe have been told things that you don't like, or anything like that?
Question for me, from my perspective. Do, like, people, like, here's the thing, like, they would know about, like, the operation to, like, that dropped the,
Oh, they were part of that conference, yeah.
Right. Okay. I think, like, he's not being, like, necessarily secretive about it. It was just more... I was just more trying to figure out, like, the perspective here. And he's like... I'll put it this way. My signature was on the paperwork, but I did not care for it. And you can tell, like, just at this moment, like, the alcohol maybe is starting to, like, get him to loosen up just a little bit. And he doesn't go out on, like, a full tangent or rant about, like, the people above him. But he does let it slip that, like...
He does not agree with...
Yeah. I just don't think... Some changes need to be made. There. Yeah. Like, I don't know if they have the, you know, I want this war to end as much as anyone else does, but takes another sip.
You need more outside perspectives.
Iria is going to turn to Mia and, actually, right before that, Iria is going to say, no, that's totally understandable, Rev. Like I said, this isn't an interrogation. I just want to know. It's helpful for me. You know, it's like I said with you. It's good to have perspective of what is going on above and below. Mia Mistral.
Hi.
So, outside perspectives. Well, you're one of those. So let me get that from you, too. How is Venom feeling about... How do you think Venom is feeling about all this? The people of Venom and, of course, you know... We know who you work for.
Oh, no, I've been found out. She giggles a little bit. Well, I mean, I think overall the house, I mean, you know, it's a profitable contract. Makes sense. And, seems like a steady source of income. People are pretty happy about that. Lizzie, though, sorry, the princess. I think she's a little anxious about, stability, I guess. It kind of feels like an echo chamber around here a little bit. You know, you've got a bunch of people who are used to being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then of the people that tell them what to do, pretty much only the military people carried over, which is, I mean, you know, you're self-accepted there, you know, council fellow. But you kind of haven't been around. It's mostly been, you know, some of the admirals and then, you know, your minister person just kind of calling the shots. And, I mean, I don't know. I haven't had, you know, I'm a military person myself, but, you know, I was programmed with a lot of, I was programmed with a fisheye lens on politics, and I think, you know, there's some parts missing here.
You know, I don't think you're wrong at all about that. That's a very fair point. Well.
So you support my run?
Oh, your run.
Yeah, I got permission, and like her, a wrist panel flips open, and it prints out a permission slip.
Rev looks at the permission slip. What is printed on the permission slip?
It's actually like less dopey than it sounds, because basically it is from Princess Terilyn Lizabetta Victory of Venom, and basically it is proposing that on a temporary basis Mia Mistral be added to the new ruling council that is being made as a liaison in exchange for, like, basically taking less of a, like, lowering the payment necessary. Like, oh, you have to pay us less, but we want a voice in how this goes.
Iria then, after Rev is done looking, is going to also look at the paperwork and then say, here's the thing, I do think that's a good idea. Of course I would support that. Of course, you know the stirring of what's been going on then. Given that you already have permission to run for a new ruling council.
The war crimes or something else?
The war crimes? Oh. Could you explain to me what you mean by that?
Oh, you know. There's the big old monster, right?
Oh, I thought all the official channels were just trying to say that, oh, that was handled by the Irim. Is that not what the case actually is?
I mean, you know, what's the Irim and what's not, right? I guess I would, you know, royal intelligence from the kingdom, of course. It's they're interested in how easily it was able to slip through the defenses around here, right?
I'm sure that's a concern shared by many. I think Iria is going to sort of adjust, like, you know, because they're wearing their, like, fancy council suit, they're going to adjust their tie a bit. Well, I think that maybe more people in power should be questioning those kinds of decisions made. Actually, Mia, just as someone who is also interested in the future, I did want to ask, how do you feel about that?
Oh, the future looks great to me, honestly. I mean, you know, we can make some adjustments, right? But
oh, I just meant more, how do you feel about, you know, creatures being unleashed and their origins being dubious?
I mean, you know, probably be good to know where exactly they came from and what exactly was going on. Seems like something we should look into, but I mean, here's the thing about war crimes is we just sort of decide what they are. It's not like, you know, it isn't like a rule of nature. These things aren't set in stone. We decided them. We can change them. Is there anything about a big, what was it, like a big laser bug that's really worse than a ship that has a bunch of nukes on it? Doesn't really seem like it to me. Probably don't attack civilians with, though. That's not cool. It's kind of cool, but it shouldn't be. It's like a bad cool. But not like bad, like capital B bad. Like you know, like shitty.
Rev finishes his drink.
Oh, do you want some tequila? Sorry, I don't have a mouth.
Takes, it's like, sure. And he slides it over.
I just like flicking the salt.
Iria is going to, their hand is going to be on their chin. And they're just going to kind of nod along. And then they're going to go, well, either way, I do agree that more representation for everyone is in effect. Because I do agree. Everything seems to be mostly focused on military decision making. And I don't think that's a balanced way to handle your government. And I'm glad to see that you two do agree with that as well. Hmm. Well, I have some work to do, so good luck to you both. Thank you for meeting with me. I appreciate it. And I think Iria...
Rev stands up real quick. Mm-hmm. Or just, like... Actually, not stands up, but just sort of, like... Well, pleasure to speak with you. Puts out... hand.
Iria is going to reach out their gloved hand forward and shake their hand.
And slipped into your palm is like, you know, like basically like a card to get in touch with him again.
I think Mia stands up to shake hands as well, but quickly, like, you see Mia like flex their hand and like it's like a glove extends over it. And she's like, this is my handshaking glove.
You are a funny one, Mia Mistral.
Funny little robot.
I try.
Iria just shakes hands with a smile and then just heads out. Small detail, they bring their empty water glass over to the bartender rather than leaving it on the table. And then they leave.
There's like a little shuttle shoot that like, or like a little like... You know, like in Back to the Future, like a little chute that opens and takes the glass.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I didn't expect that to go that well for Mia. I might end up having... Okay, well, this
here's
might
thing,
go rough.
Here's the thing about... You it mentioned it with Iria, right? Good listener. Last to speak and speaks from patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Iria maybe doesn't always agree with Mia, but here's the thing. Mia said some true things there, and it still offers some ideas, right? And that's what Iria was going for. They're not going to chastise, you know, Mia for any of the things that they were doing or saying or the antics. It's just met with mild bemusement and just noting that down, right?
As ammunition later for a future conversation.
Maybe it has to be, right? But
mm-hmm.
we'll have to see how that goes. But I think Iria is stepping away from this with overall the idea that either way, there is some reform necessary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
as someone who has you know, some saying power on that, I think they're going to also be for, hey, we should, you know, we should rearrange things a little bit. But anyway. That was fun. I got to play someone level-headed for once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's time for yeses and nos, and then power. Let's see. Let's go through. Dr. Lazarelli's a no.
Yep.
How does Rev feel?
Rev votes yes. For, like, this for the, like, the cause of Reformation to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rev votes yes. And the detail of, like, the card being slipped into, like, the Congress member or the, council member's, like, hand was to basically say, hey, I might know more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely pro, like, shaking things up.
Let's see. Mia's a yes. Vesper, I guess Vesper's a yes. I think, you know what? I think Vesper doesn't have a strong opinion. I think abstain is Vesper. I think Vesper is jaded enough to feel like it won't make a difference.
Uh-huh.
How about actually just on that note, how about Angelica?
Angelica's a no because she like it's not like she necessarily likes the people in charge. I don't think she actually likes Brand.
I don't think she likes anybody.
She probably likes some people. Probably. Uh-huh. No one she's had a scene with so far, but
uh-huh.
But she finds Brand easy to manipulate, and so it's like, okay, well that's useful, and so she's a no.
Mm-hmm.
How does Brand feel?
I think Brand votes like I'm trying to think of like how you would vote was like
I mean it's probably like of the people he is the most like the type of leadership people are uncomfortable with, so I don't know, it sounded to me like he would understand, like he would not be like shocked by it passing, but he doesn't necessarily want it to.
Yeah, he would vote no, but understands the idea that like if it does change, he just will sort of adjust.
Mm-hmm. How's Saya on this?
Votes yes.
Okay.
A shocking twist votes no. No.
how's Side?
Side is voting yes, yeah.
I assumed, but you know, always worth checking.
Uh-huh.
And Iria.
And Iria is also voting yes.
Okay. And now, time to read book. Read book, tell fact, figure out where this link is.
Transmit story.
This point, we are going to, first of all, say what the powers will do. But there is a step to this that we will have to note. So powers are... Brand and Angelica are no's, and Iria is a yes. Mm-hmm. Any overthrows happening?
Mm.
Mm. Because I think there are two that seem feasible right now. The one I could see Saya overthrowing Brand.
Okay.
And I know I want to play out another overthrow, but I want to deal with that one second because I feel like it's a good plot twist.
Sure. So can you remind me how overthrows work again? It was just be narratively that's how it works out, or?
So first of all, you have to change to the role of the person you're overthrowing, right?
Okay.
And to overthrow power, show us why the kingdom obeys you now, not them. What can you do to take away their authority? If you can't explain why the kingdom listens to you and not them, you can't overthrow them.
Okay. Because I think what could happen is that, like, I think a, like, Saya overthrowing Brand would make a lot of sense because I feel like Saya would, like... She would, like, hammer home this point of, like, you know, military might being the only thing in power only leads to more, like, destruction, right? Like, that's kind of the, like, she's kind of tapping into, like, I mean, Vesper did pretty much say people are uncomfortable with, like, so many military people taking over and pushing for power.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I feel like she leverages that to, like, basically say, hey, this, like, this idea, like, this seem like this is a bad idea, and let me show historically why that's a bad idea.
Okay. And then, next step is price. One of the players not involved in the overthrow comes up with a personal consequence or price your character pays as part of this struggle. Do you have regrets? Do people you care about disapprove or get hurt? It should be something you agree to as a player, but if it doesn't feel like something your character cares about, it's not a real price.
Right.
So that's kind of, there is no, because it's a general character, there is kind of no one who's not involved. So let's just, let's figure out a cost for this. What does this cost, Saya?
I just had a very chaotic pang in the back of my mind that, like, political assassination, but,
that she instantly gets murdered? I mean, that would not be much of an overthrow.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah, that's, yeah, not quite.
What if it's, actually, what if that's it? What if it is us as the audience, like, knowing she doesn't survive all this?
Yeah.
She's, like, she's not gonna die right now, but it's like, oh, she's gonna die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I, like, was gesturing towards is, like, she, like, again, she is a wide-eyed idealist. And, like, I think what's going to happen is that at some point, she's basically signed her own death warrant in some ways. Like, you know, people don't like it when generally, like, you know, you're trying to, like, completely you're trying to revamp a lot of things. I think maybe she doesn't get directly targeted and assassinated, but something happens that costs her her life.
I think that makes sense.
Like, it's one of those, you know, some sort of, like, you know, uprising happens or something happens that causes her to, like, lose her life. And maybe we just, like, put a pin in that and kind of figure out when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like an appropriate price to pay for overthrowing what is essentially a military junta going on here.
Okay, so Saya's now a power. I think we have to give Brand a new role. I think Brand, honestly, like, just becomes a minor. I have trouble seeing Brand becoming a perspective or a touchstone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
For sure.
Okay, and then the next overthrow, which is a fun thing to say,
uh-huh.
Is Mia overthrowing Angelica.
Oh! Oh, okay.
Ooh. Because what happens is, Mia comes forward with, like, intelligence from the House of Venom, and basically, like, proves something that is true, but it turns out to be only part of the truth.
Uh-huh.
And I think, judging by how we talked about things last Crossroads, it is because the House of Venom doesn't know the full truth. But Mia has proof that Angelica let the bioweapon through.
What if... what if, like, Rev... Like, remember how Rev, like, slid a card, like, to, like, the council member?
Mm-hmm.
Should Rev also leak that information to Mia?
Well, heck, if we want it this way, too, given that Iria is probably not a fan of Angelica Ainsford, is what I'm guessing from this.
I think it's, yeah, I think actually it is probably, and Iria is the kind of person where it doesn't feel dramatic, but, like, I think there's a moment where, like, I don't know, like, Iria's talking to, like, another council member who's a friend, and she's like, oh, you really don't agree with Minister Ainsford's politics, huh? And Iria's like, no, I also don't like them.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if it could be, like, Iria giving that, like, Iria getting that information from Rev and then using some kind of channel to get that information out there that would not, like, lead back to Rev. Right? You know?
Yeah, like...
Because I imagine that Iria values their sources on this, right? So they're not going to want to, like, say, oh yeah, no, this person told me this, or, like, you know, like, in a way that is obvious. Like, what if, you know, through a thing of a thing, a leaked document happens, and it just happens to have Angelica's name on it, and it happens to implicate her in reduced defenses around a certain area that a giant monster was sent through.
You know, I think it would be really good characterization for Iria if, like, basically she left something in her office in a bad spot, like, as bait, because she's like, you know, like, we're working with these people. I bet they're still spying on us, though. And, like, in order to confirm it and, like, internally, like, she's not necessarily going to use this information right now, but to, like, figure out a spy in her own office, she set up this trap of information.
Oh, so, like, doing some sort of, like, someone used this piece of information. Ah, that was the office that, like, that is the person who snuck in.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so it covers two things in one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some real cloak and dagger.
You know what? I like that.
You know? Yeah.
I think that's a good way to handle that.
Angelica is going to become a generic perspective. Because I can't have two major characters.
Right.
What is Angelica's perspective on this also?
That's true. She can make a perspective move. I think we should establish the cost first.
Oh, right. Yes, because cost of overthrow, right?
These are both my characters, so obviously, you know, I'll consult with y'all, but y'all have to be the leading the front on this.
Sure. So it's... It's a combined effort of Iria and Mia, right?
Yeah.
Though,
like, Mia doesn't know that it's a combined effort. Mia's like, yes, our agents pulled this off.
Yeah.
And Iria's like, you're fucking welcome.
Yep. For the cost. So the cost would be
For Mia.
For Mia, yeah.
I think the cost for Mia... I think she suddenly is inundated with more work to do, and she hates that, right?
Like, this is a real job. This is something that, it's like what happened to Side, right? It is, oh, you are now in this position, and now you have to spend your days working it day in and day out. You're not, this is not something that is just like, you know.
Yeah. I think that, and I also think, like, she has to temporarily stop being a Venom. Because she's literally part of a foreign government now.
Yeah, right.
It's like, this government is temporary. I'll go back. But, like, right now, I have to, you know, I have to stop being a Venom.
Yeah, she's not allowed to, like, you know, claim that as part of her title. She can't go home, necessarily. It's, yeah.
Like, yeah, she can't weasel her way out of this, basically.
Yeah, and I think she, like, the princess knew that this was the cost. Mia, very lightheartedly didn't fully understand the implications. Was like, oh, sure, that'd be fun. And then it's like, princess, why aren't you taking my calls? And she's like, you have to use the official channels. You're not my fucking girl anymore.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a good one.
And then Angelica can make a perspective move right now. Because she has been made a perspective for this. And I think her perspective, oh boy, it's not going to be nice.
That's not the point.
I know.
Like, I'm killing off one of my major characters, so, I mean, yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. If yes, which it is yes, because now all of our powers are voting yes. If yes, the kingdom opens itself to major Irem reprisal.
You know what? Yeah, that's entirely, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine now that information is not going to only be used to oust Angelica from office, but also it's going to be knowledge that is public.
So and Irem's also
no.
Yeah, and also it's just like, oh, what a great time to attack. They're having elections and they're electing a bunch of fucking, like, civilians instead of soldiers. Great. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Let's ask our various, let's see, who gets to decide this? Okay. Sorry, I'm having to recheck the documents. It's been a bit.
I don't know why my cat is meowing at my door, but he is right now.
Meow, 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 my door. Meow, 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 my door.
While you check the document, can I use the restroom again, real quick?
Yeah, in fact, I would like to as well.
Yeah, let's all take five.
Take a small break so I can see why my cat is yelling.
Yeah, take
5 minute break.
Yeah, 5 minute break. Okay.
Okay.
How many crisis ticks did we get for?
Well, that's part of what I've been reading. So, okay, we need to do this twice because So, welcome back, folks. I've been doing some reading in our little break there, and first of all, we need to twice do this. What we're going to do is we're each going to type a number 1 to 5
right,
as to how many crisis points we think this scenario got us, and we will go with the second lowest.
Okay.
So first of all, overthrowing Duke Brand.
Okay, so get ready with a type and then just...
Yeah, 1 to 5, I'm ready.
All right.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
Wow, you really think overthrowing the Duke is a 2 or a 3? All right.
Out of 5.
I don't think anyone will fucking notice.
You told me it's on a scale of 5, so I was like, it's gotta have some implications.
Okay. Well, I guess I know how this is gonna go. but just for the sake of it, okay, that's 2 crisis points. And then the overthrow of Angelica Ainsford, 1 to 5.
Ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1,
go. Yeah, yeah, accurate. 4, 5, 4.
Like, okay, the overthrow of the Duke, this guy was like an advisor, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, sure, he had some position of power, like he had a military, but he was more of like a guy that people consulted with, right? This is fucking mm-hmm. Angel, the like night minister.
Yeah. So, once you hit...
Overthrowing the head of the CIA goes lightly.
No. And I mean, she's not overthrown into... Like, she's overthrown... Like, she's sort of, like, shamed and she has less power now. She's not, like, kicked out of office.
Right, right.
It's a big scandal, though, and she's taking a backseat. But, yeah, so once you hit 5 crisis points, and we just hit 8...
Great.
a crisis occurs.
Oh, I love crises.
This is the end of the game, basically.
Fitting.
Okay.
So, gosh, wow. Okay. When all the crisis boxes are checked, we reach a critical moment and see if the kingdom survives or falls. Our characters share the kingdom's fate. If it falls, we fall with it. We know that the Alliance exists in some sense at the beginning of our game of Bean Saber. That doesn't mean the kingdom can't fall.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
To see how the crisis unfolds, each player will describe what they see happening and what their character does to save or destroy the kingdom. We'll use short narration instead of full scenes. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, first is step one, show the crisis. Decide if this is going to be the end of your game. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
If the kingdom is destroyed, the game ends whether you plan to stop or not. Each player gives a short description of a specific incident to show how the crisis is unfolding and threatening the kingdom. don't include any of our characters in the vignettes. We'll see what they do later.
Okay. So we're providing like some sort of outsider perspective of how like the crisis like plays out. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think mine is in a short vignette. So we see over on Vinegar Station, on the Corway line, right? They're doing some, you know, routine training exercises. And as always the case, right, Irem does their training exercises on the other side of the, basically, the metaphorical border. And I guess real border, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always match exercises as sort of a show of force, and it's very flashy and stupid, right? And just as the exercises are winding down, just out of you know, whatever hyperspace, subspace, whatever our FTL equivalent is, a bunch more Irem ships jump in. The exercise was a feint. Is a prelude to an assault and an attempted invasion. And Vinegar Station falls like that.
Okay. Kirei, do you have a vignette in mind?
I mean, so it does not involve any of the characters that we've established?
Right. Well, we'll do that later.
I mean, I think what happens is... I feel like there is some sort of, you know, like when the massive kaiju like had like tore through the military base, right? And just kind of like wrecked a lot of havoc, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we see a scene of, like, there was, like, a building that fell, right? And a bunch of people are holding, ostensibly, a memorial service. You know, like, candles are being lit, like, that sort of thing. And, I mean, if I can piggyback a little bit about, like, what you brought up, like, you see, like, it's at night, and people are lighting these candles, and you look up, and you see these streaks of light that they think are, of course, like, shooting stars. But, it's the advance of the Irem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking, like, these, like, you know, this is just, like, a path on the way through the, like, you know, like... whatever, you know, FTL travel we have, that they leave these streaks of light that just, like, sends, like, shivers down the spines of the people who see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we get is a view from the Pearl of Meridian. And, like, the thing about the Pearl of Meridian, right, is that it is basically, you know, as you mentioned, constantly dimmed, right?
Yeah.
But I think what ends up happening is suddenly, for, you know, people, like, you know, we're coming from military bases and cities, it seems like there's light. Like, it seems like, wait, this is daylight, but it's not daylight. What it is an entire fleet of ships that are now over, like, you know, in the clouds, dropping troops with lights pointed downward. So for a brief moment, it's just like, everyone's like, huh, it seems like daylight. And as they look up, though, it's like, well, wait, hold on. Rather than, like, it being, like, truly daylight, no, the clouds are full of ships with bright lights pointing downward as mechanized infantry are being, you know, deployed from these dropships.
And suddenly, like, a lot of people are like, oh, everybody get inside.
Yeah, everyone is just like, oh no. You know, there is... The planet, for once, is covered in bright white light as opposed to all the gaudy neon and whatnot, and it is a horrifying sign of things to come.
All right, step two. What do you do? take turns describing what your main character does or doesn't do in the crisis. You can try to save the kingdom, destroy it, or save your own skin and flee. Say where you are and what you do. Our characters will share the kingdom's fate, but if you want to save yourself, show your character giving up on the kingdom and fleeing. Abandoning the kingdom always weakens it. You automatically vote for the kingdom to fall in the next step. If you escape, but the kingdom survives, you'll make a new character and continue playing. No, you won't. We're ending. If another character wants to prevent you from escaping, they can fight or fix, which is a mechanic here, to stop you. If your escape is foiled, your vote is still thumbs down and you share the fate of the kingdom. Now, here's the modification I want to make to this.
Sure.
I think every character can only go once, but we'll just go around and do characters until we've decided we're done, right? If you don't, we don't have to have a scene with every character. I assume there are some we won't, but if you have a character who wants you want a scene with, you just do it. We'll just keep taking turns.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I do have one in mind.
All right, go for it.
Dr. Lazarali. So, on board the Verglas station, as news is coming in that, you know, shit is hitting the fan, right? I think what's going to happen is basically, so, you know, the Verglas facility has a bunch of, you know, corporations on it. You've got competing corporations that are not even, like, government or military affiliated on the main facility. And then, of course, there's the Eclipser Station. And there's a little thing we talked about. So what ends up happening is a bunch of the military aligned science people. They're just leaving, right? They are going to, you know, the Eclipser Station, and that is connected via, like, a, you know, big hallway, like a long strut, basically, right, for the secondary station.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening with the what are in that station, the Amalgama Labs, is that, so on the main station, you've got all this panic happening and all these people like, hey, what are we supposed to do? You know, we don't make weapons here, right? Well, what are they doing over on there? So you have all these various company people who are either escaping in their own, like, you know, ships that are there, or if they can't escape, like, you know, they don't have a ship to get on, they're like, hey, what's going on? They're trying to ask. And what actually ends up happening is, from the end of the strut, there's a loud creaking and shaking, and the Eclipser disconnects from the main station. Just basically, like, completely denoting its, like, going away from it. And, just starts kind of, like, activating some minor thrusters that are located on the outside of it, and just moving away from everyone else. Just moving away from the station and away from everyone. And this is Dr. Lazarelli and whatever groups he can get together with him are leaving. They at the very least, they are leaving the Verglas facility on its own, and are just trying to get themselves somewhere where they are not going to be found quickly, right? Because, you know, obviously, you look up maps of the system, which Irem are now going to discover, they're going to know where the Verglas facility is, because that's a commercial facility. Mm-hmm. And I think the Eclipser is just going to try to, like, whether it's hide around, like, the orbit of one of the planets that doesn't matter there, like, whether it's, like, an uninhabitable gas giant or something, they're just trying to go away.
How do you read this? Is this Dr. Lazarelli fleeing the kingdom? Is this Dr. Lazarelli not helping? Is this Dr. Lazarelli's weird way of helping?
He is retreating. No, he has decided that if he can finish his work, it doesn't matter what happens to the kingdom. And he has a research facility with staff. Now, is it actually going to go well? Probably not. But here's the thing. They're not doing well. They are not doing well right now, because their thing was this. The overthrow of this government was going to result in something bad for them. They knew this. And they are just, like, in full, I told them all, and they let it happen, and because they didn't stop this, this is everyone else's fault. And so anyone who wants to come with me and finish our true research, come with me and finish our true research. And anyone who doesn't, get off the station. So I think it is basically them and a couple of the scientists that, you know, are following along. And I'm imagining that it's not all the staff, right? Not all the staff is coming along with this. But they, you know, Lazarelli has hit the big red button and has detached the Eclipser and is like, nope, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to finish what I actually care about working on. You know, we don't need to make more, you know what? If we don't have to make more weapons for the military, fine. It allows us to finish what we're doing. Because their goal is not necessarily the same goal of just creating a big kaiju monster to destroy everything. That's just something to tide people over. We'll say.
He just does it when he's very, when he needs more funding, is make the giant kaiju.
Yeah, that's what they did for the government, not what they are doing for themselves.
That's not my passion, you know?
Yeah, that's not their true passion here, so...
Little does Dr. Lazarelli know that one of the new leaders, Mia, would totally be on board, but oh well.
They don't know that, though. They yeah, don't right, know that at right, all.
Right.
That's the thing. They have gone full into, nope, you know, me and my briefcases.
Full of brains.
Yeah, full of brains. And everything else we've been growing and working on here, we are going to just safely do this around a star, or like around a planet somewhere. And just, you know, we've got solar power. We're not going to run out of power. We can grow food. We'll figure this out.
I don't know if they're going to figure this out.
I'm just now imagining in my mind, like, this is ostensibly that vine of the kid who, like, misses a mini putt, like, mini golf putt, and then jumps into the river.
Basically, yes. It's like, they are doing something shit. That is get ill-advised.
Yeah.
Completely ill-advised. That they wouldn't have to do, because as said, there are people who would be on board with them, but they are so nervous about this. About there being oversight, about there being people that are going to, you know, stop their work, and then, or even ship them back to Irem. And that's the other thing, right? Oh no. Irem's invading, and I ran away from Irem, and I'm running this facility. Are they going to find out I'm involved? Am I going to, you know... They He's are just in full panic.
Full panic, trying to avoid every possible consequence.
Yep, mm-hmm. And probably creating their own messed up hell that is, you know, something that can be explored later, but for now, I think, unless someone's going to try to stop them, Lazarelli's out.
I think... We get, so, Archer Bullitt was a sniper, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I think they have, like, they're not, like, super high up, but they have sort of advanced a little bit, and at this point, they are, like, I think, due to, like, Side's influence, they are now, like, doing even some, like, in-between work for, like, civilian military stuff, right? So that Side can have them closer to, like, consult them.
Uh-huh.
And so they have, like, a civilian office, and when they got it, their assigned aide, like, was like, oh, wow, I'm getting, like, a famous, like, sniper as, like, you know, my new boss, and put up this declaration that is, like, an old sniper rifle in, like, a glass case, and mm-hmm. Archer hates it, right? Archer thinks, like, it's like, this is so tacky. This sucks.
Uh-huh.
But as we hear, like, you know, in the, like, distant, like, AA fire, right, and, like, people in the streets, we see Archer Bullitt walk up to the glass case with a hammer and, like, sigh, smash it open, and, you know, like, try and figure out what caliber of bullet it takes, because she's going to work.
Straps it to their back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, so I know we established earlier, like, Saya will, like, lose her life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that basically, like, through her death, she becomes, like, a martyr and is, like, in the advancement for the kingdom?
But, like, we could do that. That the scene could be her dying helping.
That's kind of like what it is. It's like, so ultimately, you know, she is going to want the, like I imagine that, like, this invasion happens, like, after, you know, she is, like, part of the council, and it's been several weeks, right? And then the invasion happens. And I think what it is that, like, she sees the, you know, these streaks of light and this, you know.
Well, she wouldn't.
Or she wouldn't. Right. Right. But she certainly would hear them.
If you want to be ironic, that could be, you know, that could get her killed. I mean, because as a Rethistan, she, you know, she senses the world through echolocation. So, like, if you see a streak of light headed to Earth, she doesn't. You know?
Yeah.
Helping in space, because Rethistan's I don't want to say famously, because this is shit I wrote and no one has read, but in universe famously, just like practically blind in space.
I guess ultimately it's one of those things where Saya will, like, something. Like, I'm trying to figure out the details, but, like, something happens to her in which, like through her death, like, she becomes, like, a symbol in some ways of, like, trying to keep the Alliance together. Like, she... Maybe it's, like, the invasion is happening as she's, like, you know, giving some sort of speech, right? Like, she's trying to, like, you know... She's, you know, thanking people and, like, also just kind of, like, on the trail, like, just trying to, like, you know, drum up support for something, like, in the, like, council. And all of that seems to fall away, right, when the Iram are making their invasion. And
she could be helping with evacuations, maybe?
Yeah. Like, I think it's one of those things. Like, I think what happens is, like, something collapses and she, like, you know, like, all these, you know, there's, like, no lights, but that doesn't bother her at all, obviously. Like, she is leading these evacuations and then just, it's not a heroic death. It's not, like, a glamorous one. It's just one moment Saya is living and then in just the next, like, her life is extinguished. Not through some malice, not through, well, there's a little malice, but not through some targeted malice, not through, like, intention. It was just she was in the way. And, like, that is, like, that's where she, like, meets her end. Hoping that, you know, just, you know, in her last moments, hoping that, like, her life in, like, where she lived isn't, like, another one of those dying songs, right? Yeah.
All right. That's Dylan's turn.
I think we're going to cut to the Palace de Sardai.
Sure.
And I think, okay, so if this is okay with you, Six. Well, this is a generic character, right? Vesper Dragon. Sure. I think it's going to be both side Mare Sardai and Vesper Drake in the scene. I think that this is going to be, like, you know, they know that the invasion is happening now. And Sid is just kind of sitting there. Again, the usual thing that he does where his hand is so pressed onto his forehead that he's leaving finger indentations. And he, I imagine, is in a position of, like, you know, oh, we know this is happening, right? And we know through political channels this is happening. And you can leave, right? We can have a ship prepare for you so you can evacuate first. And Side is thinking about this and is like, you know, I could leave and I could live. But then Side is also like, but what's going to happen if I do, right? If I retreat, am I going to be shot down? Am I, you know, just sitting there thinking of all these scenarios. And so what I think Side is eventually going to do is look up at Vesper, who, you know, is still there. And is just going to be like, why are you still here? And I think Vesper's just going to kind of, you know, going with how Vesper has been portrayed, just kind of give like almost like a resigned shrug of, this is my job and this is what I'm doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what I think Sight is going to do is just be like, you should leave. You should leave. Does Sight know about Vesper's past as a double agent?
Oh, I doubt it. Vesper's just like a temporary bodyguard assigned by Angelica, but for some reason doesn't seem to be like pushing Angelica's agenda. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that Sight is just going to just sit there and then just basically be like, I'm an elected official. They're going to know I exist. They're going to find me no matter where I go. I'm just going to stay. You should leave. And I think Vesper... So I'm trying to think of how Vesper would handle this, though.
I feel like Vesper just would.
Vesper would just leave, right?
I think
that's the thing.
Yeah, I think Vesper would leave. Maybe it's one of those things where maybe for the first time, like, you know, you have Side, who has been just a total anxious fucking wreck the entire time. And I think this is like one of the first times for Side, like Side makes a decision on his own without like questioning, without like any of that, and decides to use what, like, Side is deciding to use what little power he has left in this scenario to let Vesper go. I think maybe Vesper just goes like, in the most genuine voice they can muster, it's like, it's been a pleasure serving you, sir, and walks away.
Yep. And just leaves. Yep, just leaves.
And then like halfway at the door pauses and is like, you're gonna want these, and puts the anxiety pill bottle down.
And Side is just going to sit there, his hand is on his head in the office, you know, prepared for whatever fate happens to him, right? Whether that it means a flash is going to happen and the Palace de Sardai is going to be bombed, or if he's just going to be captured by Irem's soldiers. But if he is resigned to the fact, if he runs, it doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters. His title doesn't matter. What's he going to do? And he's just kind of resigned to his fate, whatever it may be. And I think he's just going to stay. And I guess it would put him on the side of him trying to help the kingdom, right? Because he's not running away from his duty, but he is just... That's what he's doing. He's staying in his office.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where this is, again, like, the first time in which he is, like, his back is being held straight for the first time in years.
Mm-hmm. He's still an anxious wreck about it, but he has made his decision, and he's sticking with it. So...
Right.
Yep. All right. Yeah, that's Side.
Okay.
I guess also that. Vesper.
Yep. Let me see. Who do I want to do? Because I know some stuff. I want to hold off on that one a minute here. I think Angelica is like, I think she is like currently like, she's under, not like they're not, they can't put her under house arrest. That would be outrageous. Right? But it's like, she's been encouraged to take a week staycation, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know, like you can cut off her access, you can lock her at home. She's still going to be the most informed person in any room. And I think like there are some like some the day minister, the sort of the prime minister, has some people there who are like, listen, you and like Angelica, you really have to let this one blow over. Like, boss says they understand, and you'll talk about it, but you really have to wait this one out. And then their phone rings, and Angelica says, "Oh, you're gonna want to answer that. It'll be the invasion." And like, and they look at each other, and the next we see is her like basically power walking into, you know, the Escarati, like whatever their equivalent of, you know, like the White House is, right? Like the main executive building, and her like giving orders, and even the like the prime minister is like sweating and looking to her for guidance, because she is the person for these moments and she is stepping up.
I think I'm trying to think if because the only characters that are really kind of left, I'm looking at this list, is the Chael Library. That's my other character that I think, like, I would like to resolve his story somehow. And then we also have Rev and Duke and others. I think, though, like, who was it that got the information from Chael Library about, like, the Aurora Storm?
That was Archer.
Archer? Okay.
And can still be involved in other scenes. I mean, sure. Like, if could... Archer, like, while covering, like evacuating people with a rifle, like, checks that house or something, I don't know.
I feel like, yeah, I think what happens is Archer maybe Archer, ends up back at the like house, right? And like this noble house has been like flattened, basically. And maybe it's something along the lines of Archer, you know, I just had this idea of like Archer basically strapping this like, you know, partially damaged like archive bot to their back and just going like, there's way too much useful information for me not to like take Chael in some way, the Chael Library, or get some last piece of information because trying to think how to put it.
What if, okay, this is a little ridiculous, but so Archer has been like on top of a building just taking shots, right, with a rifle, and has been hooked up to Briefcase Theta, like helping with like parabolic bullet calculations, right? And is like, shit, I need someone who's got maps of the area.
oh yeah, so like, you know, Archer is like running with like Theta and like remembers that they accessed like Chael Library beforehand, and I think what you see is that like in the rubble, maybe you find like, remember the black box is stored in like Chael's head, right? That holds like a copy of the archive, or at the very least like a picture of the archive, and it is like. like, I'm imagining a scene in which Archibald, like, finds the head and Chael Library's head, like, lights up and goes, "Welcome back." It's like, "Greetings. Welcome back, Archer. How may I assist you?" And, like, you just have that moment of Archibald, like, just stashing the head in a bag and running because there's like heavy gunfire everywhere. And like, I think like the information is like Archer will now use this information to like that is contained in Chael's head in order to keep fighting.
All right, sounds good. Dylan, it's your turn again. If you don't have anything, you can skip.
I was going to say, I don't think I have anything for the remaining characters, because, you know, at most I was going to try to think of something for Briefcase Theta, but I like the idea that Briefcase Theta is still traveling alongside Archer, so...
Yeah, helping with sniper calculations.
Yeah.
Right? Or Archer just accumulating a fucking party of robots.
Yeah.
Just like gets briefcase number 7 to be there to be like, like, should I take this shot? Blinking light, you got it, bud. All right, well, I think possibly my last one.
I'm sorry, actually I do have one.
Oh, good, go ahead.
I think briefcase number 7, this is a minor, very minor scene, but on board the Verglas facility, what remains of it, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Stuffed in the corner of one of the meeting rooms is a small case, blinking lights repeatedly with no one there to actually alert. The briefcase, as we pull into the corner of the room where we see this dim, like, blinking red light, the briefcase actually reveals, a modification that had been made in the interim, which is two small mechanical legs lifted. Unfortunately, there are no arms. So there is a briefcase with a brain in it, walking around enclosed in one of those meeting spaces that sadly cannot reach the doorknob and knows something is going on because from its perspective, it just sees, you know, occasionally people are running around, like, you can see the shadows on the window outside the door, like, I'm imagining the door has, like, you know, like, a private eye window, you know, like, when you see, like, the office buildings, like, that, in a detective show where it's got, you know, the single window on it with a writing. It just, in this case, it is, it just says, you know, meeting room
197. Yeah.
So, what it can see is just people, you know, kind of shuffling about. Clearly something urgent is happening, and this forgotten briefcase is just kind of standing there in the room, staring up, waiting for someone to open the door, and for the moment, no one opens the door, and it just is blinking its lights.
Yeah. So, for Mia, I think this will be my last one. We get Mia, issuing orders to a bunch of the House of Venom mercenaries, right? Having them launch, having them, you know, the ground ones, like, start, like, clearing up the streets. And she runs to her, mecca, the Champagne Macaron. And she, like, holds up her ID card and it, like, beeps an error. And she's like, huh? And she checks it again and she's like, oh shit, right, this is a Kingdom of Scars ID, I guess, and this is a Kingdom of Scars mecha. And she sighs, and, like, the camera stays on the mobile suit and this, like, the little, like, key card part as she steps out of frame, and then we hear, like, running footsteps, and she runs in and drop kicks it, and it opens.
And she, like, mutters something under her breath about, like...
Oh, she's not a mutterer. She's like, that'll teach you, little shit.
Oh, very good.
All right. Kira, you got any last one for us?
I think what happens is... I think we have this scene on the Verglas facility that, like, there are people that are panicking. You know, there's, like, a lot of, like, moments for, like, evacuation, a lot of, like, klaxons being, like, ringing throughout the halls. And Rev is just, like, he knows that, like, you know, like, everything is falling apart, right? And he is just, you know, like, I feel like that there are forces, like, closing in on him, and he, like, he gets into a door and slams it behind him, and he, you know, is, like, breathing super, like, you know, shallowly, like hoping, you know, praying that like the military people chasing like the scientists on board like pass over this room. And his adrenaline goes down a little bit and he sees the little blinking of a suitcase. And briefcase number seven, like I feel like briefcase number seven like walks towards him. Mm-hmm. But, and maybe like, you know, there was a lot of reading into it about the beeps, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think like briefcase number seven remembers that Rev was like, was one of the few people like kind of like on his side in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I think Rev has this moment, you know, in the stillness of this station, and just kind of whispers to himself, like, I'm gonna make this right. Grabs the briefcase and finds a way to, like, get out.
I've got a plan.
Go for it.
I thought you were gonna say, like, finds a way to, it's like, oh, I know what's gonna happen to briefcase number seven. Don't worry about that.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm. gets the briefcase and wants to at the very like make this right.
I think Rev is not helping because Rev is prioritizing other things.
Yes, I mean he's not necessarily, because it was the kingdom that kind of allowed like this, you know, Dr. Lazzarotti to like make this happen. They signed off on this, and it, you know. By not giving him forcing oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he also knows on a, like, an emotional level, it's like, I need to help, like, the victims of this.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, it's time to do some math, because we're going to get plus one for everyone who helped, minus one for everyone who didn't. Lazzarotti and Vesper are automatically minus two. Archer's a plus one. It sounded like Saya was a plus one.
Yeah, Saya was plus one.
Plus one till the end.
Side was a plus one, mm-hmm. I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just staying with his duty.
Alright. Angelica's plus one. Chael? It could be a neutral.
Chael's neutral.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Briefcase number seven is also neutral.
Neutral, yeah. Can't do much to help, honestly.
Yeah. Mia's helping and Rev is not helping. So that comes to a two overall, which is, if the result is positive, the kingdom survives. So I think, you know, we get, you know, fighting in the streets. We get, like, if there's a crucial mistake, it's that Irem was too excited and they overextend. They get cut off. And despite having a pretty good, you know, like, invasion force, they have, you know, they're, like, surrounded, and they just get whittled down. I think the damage is pretty bad. I would say especially on the planet in the Verlun sector, where Side is mayor, because it's pretty close to the front.
Mm-hmm. I think that there is, like, at the end of the day, the Alliance was able to, like, survive, but definitely not without heavy cost.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, now everyone is doing bad because Irem overextends their forces and do get pushed back, which is obviously going to cost them as well. But the Alliance is also doing very badly. And of course, it's not like the original the Andric Union was doing all that well to begin with anyway, with the succession happening. So how I see it is basically everyone is doing pretty badly right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Closing bit here, I want. What happens to Side?
Oh. I think Now, here's the thing.
We could have a scene of this if you want.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of what you want for Side?
I don't want to decide that much of a character that has been so much yours. So
that's fair. What I think happens with Side is that I think Side is going to... They are going to... He's going to have held the line on within his office and just stay there and waited. And what I think happened is that eventually that rather than... So the doors do get busted open, right? And there's a loud crash, you know, and Side is wincing. And it's just like, okay, my time has come. But when he looks up, it's not Irem soldiers that he sees. What he instead sees is someone that he hasn't directly met, but in fact has signed a lot of papers involving.
Princess Terralyn Lisabetta Victory of Venom says, Flight Lieutenant Sardai.
Princess?
Princess Your Highness Terralyn is fine, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Your Highness, sorry, yes. You're not here to kill me, are you?
I mean, not this exact moment. And she moves her head in a certain way. Two people rush forward and, like, start to, like, cuff you.
Side is just flabbergasted and confused, but just cooperating, because he doesn't know what's happening now. He's just like, what? What?
What? Don't worry, we're going to take you somewhere quite safe. And turns her head and she's like, I think there and there. And you see someone who has like a bag full of spent like shells, right? But they're like the ones Irem uses and they're like spreading them like confetti.
Side is just kind of looking around and is like trying to put two and two together and is like, what?
I feel like there's a moment in which she like pulls out a gun and tells him to duck and leaves some fresh bullet holes.
She steps forward and she pulls a fruit knife and she's like, now this will hurt a little, but I'm afraid it's necessary. And she just like slashes like across his arm and then like splashes the blood on the chair. She's like, okay, perfect.
That's my
medic,
blood.
And medic starts bandaging you.
Side just kind of like just blubbering, just not saying any coherent words, just is kind of like so confused by like, and then I think at the end, I think he kind of puts it together of, oh, she thinks I have state secrets. Oh no. But doesn't say anything, just grim resignation, just kind of like leaves the office.
Everyone walks out. The princess is still in there and she thinks for a moment. And she is like, is it too much? It might be too much. Eh. And she pulls the pin on an incendiary grenade and rolls it into the corner. And then walks out.
That's very good. That was poor Side.
That was my favorite cowering corner.
There's like a bean chair.
I hate this, but okay. Have y'all seen Helsing by chance?
Yes.
Helsing Ultimate.
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
With Side, all I can imagine is Sir Penwood, and I know that the thing is, all I'm imagining is Sir Penwood, but as a vampire also, which I think is doubly funny because you know, Side being a Escarin. But this is all I can imagine now, is just the saddest man on the planet. Or in the sector, I guess, actually, because this is interplanetary.
Yeah.
Well, who knows where he'll end up next time.
Yeah, but, who knows? That'll be for the future, so.
But the kingdom has endured.
Miraculously.
All right. Somehow with that crisis level.
I mean, the crisis just means we have to decide. It doesn't mean
oh yeah, it's just funny to me that we jumped from normal level of crisis to oh god.
And it's gonna be amazing, the newspapers where it's like the first, like, let's like yesterday's is like you know, Minister Ainsford, you know, held on treason charges, and the next, like, it is Minister Ainsford saves the day.
Oh god. All right. It's gonna be great. But
that's it for us here. We'll be back next time, but these two won't. It's just gonna be me as GM with some new players in the Beam Saber version of this campaign of the Wayward Line.
Yep. Hopefully we have sowed enough, like, seeds for you to use. But this was fun. This
factions,
is
a... characters, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Facts. mm-hmm. But no, this is a fun little game. This would make for, like, a really, like, this game is Kingdom, right?
Yes.
Yes. This is like, this would be like a fun little, like, you could use this for one shots, but ours became a two shot of all things.
Yeah. You know, it's, and these crazy days of ours, it's hard to have enough time to just sit down for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Who could do that? Not us.
Well, maybe if we were podcasting about, the Clone Wars podcast, then we would be able to.
Damn.
Shout outs to the homies.
Shout outs to the homies.
But until next time, folks, we may have a campaign title, but we still don't have a campaign ending slogan. So I'll just say peace out.
See ya.